First, I want to welcome you, Bob, to KRWG for this weekly segment. We're glad you're here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's start out with the increase in cases. In Texas, overall, we've seen some pretty stark numbers, and certainly that bears out in El Paso as well. What can you tell us?
So, you know, as we talk, we're speaking on Wednesday, so 4 days into the week, and we've already had 462 cases so far this week, which is putting us on a path to exceed 600 weekly cases for the first time, and it's seeming quite likely that we may go past 700 this week. So it's a very deeply concerning rise in cases, and, you know, it's clearly tied to the increased activity that people are allowed as the state has reopened. We're not seeing, you know, universal adoption of face coverings, which has health officials concerned. So these numbers are rising, and if we don't change that pretty quickly, we're going to be back in a situation, I think, in a couple of weeks where our hospital capacity, especially our ICU capacity, will be under some severe strain.
It has been under some strain already, or getting close to it, right? I mean, it kind of seems like as we followed the numbers along, it's been a little bit difficult to follow. And B, did El Paso ever really flatten the curve?
Yeah, so I think, unfortunately, the city's data that they put out is not as clear as it can be or as complete as it can be. And so that creates a lot of confusion in the public. But, yeah, the short answer is we made some progress on flattening the curve. But, you know, one of these things you hear people talking about constantly is, you know, will we have a second wave? El Paso's not gotten out of the first wave. There's been some criticism of the state for not doing enough to stagger the openings a little bit more. And then the governor's refusal to mandate face coverings and his initial refusal to allow local governments to do that certainly has exacerbated the problems.
One of the concerns in New Mexico, and specifically in Doñana County, has been the numbers as they come back. So many of the numbers for Doñana County are in places that border Texas, including the ICE Detention Center, which is providing quite a few of those numbers. What can you tell us there?
So I think, you know, I want to separate those two, because I want to give the state of New Mexico credit for this. They've been really transparent, unlike Texas and some other states, when it comes to how they track cases in prisons and detention facilities. When you go to the state of New Mexico's dashboard, it's really clear, and you can see very quickly that this private prison facility over in Chaparral, New Mexico, is a source of an incredibly dangerous outbreak, more than 800 cases over there. But as you mentioned, the highest per capita rates of infection tend to be clustered near the El Paso state line. The really big picture that I'm concerned about in both Doñana and El Paso counties is a really high rate of infections in rural areas, including areas far from the state line. So Hatch has one of the highest infection rates in Doñana County now. So we're seeing this increased concentration of cases in rural areas, places like Hatch or Barino or in El Paso Canutillo. We have the highest per capita case counts.
One of the things that has stood out to me through this whole pandemic is we talk about the numbers so much that sometimes we miss the personal stories from the pandemic. And you have included one of a local nurse. Tell us about that.
Renee Kleidzik, one of our reporters, just published a profile of a local emergency room nurse in El Paso, Charlotte O'Rourke, where I think you really get a good understanding of the toll this has taken in their professional lives, the incredible stress that COVID-19 has brought to an already stressful occupation, but then also the stress it brings to their personal lives, because obviously they have to worry about, you know, bringing the disease home to their families and altering their life to try to protect the loved ones around them. So I think it was a really good look, not just at Charlotte's life, but at the life as it's being experienced by frontline healthcare workers today.
Bob Moore, CEO of El Paso Matters, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And you can find all the stories we talked about at elpasomatters.org.